Sometimes we come across people who may ask, how do you know that the Bible is God's Word? And at that moment, we might be tempted to, you know, dazzle them with our knowledge, with our understanding. But there is a bottom line here. The only way I know this is His Word is because I believe Him. And how about if instead of trying to prove it, we just said, why don't you read it and see? Well, why not, along with the psalmist, say, taste God and see that He is good? I think that might be a little bit more effective. Please bow. Almighty God, Lord and Savior, thank You so much for this day. Lord, we are Your children. We are loved. We have been given a comforter to guide us, to lead us. We have Your Son as an example, master and teacher. You have provided all things that we truly need. And sometimes, Lord, we allow the things of this earth, the trials, the different things to get in our way of seeing that clearly. And so we ask for Your help. We pray that You would help us to see with Your eyes, to feel with Your heart, and to deal with others with Your love and Your truth. You are a holy God, a mighty God. We thank You and we praise You. And Lord, we pray at this time that You'll be with me, that I'll speak from Your Word to Your glory. It is Your Word that has power. It is Your Word that can change us and shape us and mold us. It is Your Word that reaches deep inside of us and shows us for who we really are. We thank You. We praise You. May Your Word shine forth this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to be studying from Mark chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. Mark chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. Some of you may be tempted to see that we only have four verses this morning and think that we're going to get done early. Yeah, it might happen. Hebrews 4:12 describes the Word of God as a sword, or sharper than any two-edged sword. And sometimes we look at that and we believe that what the Hebrew author is saying is that we can take this Word, know it, and then cut people up. Do battle. But if you look at the chapter that was written in about entering into the eternal rest of God and being a people of obedience, then you'll see, I believe, that what the Hebrew author is saying is that when we pick up this Word, that it is a sword that cuts us, that reaches deep inside of us, joint and marrow, that changes us. And yes, there are times when we are dealing with other people that we hope and we pray that they will allow the Word of God to dig deep into their soul. Verse 10. And immediately He entered the boat with His disciples and came to the district of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came out and began to argue with Him, seeking from Him a sign from heaven to test Him. We don't know anything about Dalmanutha. It is not mentioned anywhere else. There has not been archaeological finds that tell us where Dalmanutha is. We do know that Matthew says after the feeding of the 4,000 that Jesus went to Magadan. We don't know where that is either, so that didn't really help. Some people say it's on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, and some say it's on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. The bottom line is we don't know. What that tells us is that most likely this is a pretty remote region. Now think about that for a moment, because the Pharisees are coming. That means that as soon as they figure out where Jesus is, they're coming to confront Him. It's not like in the Decapolis, where the people came to this remote region to find out about Jesus, to hear his message, the Pharisees are hunting him down. They are coming to argue. The word can mean simply to discuss, but or it can also mean dispute, and I think in this context it's pretty clear. They came to argue. I don't think that you're going to live very long in this life before you discover there are some people who love to argue. There are some people who are just looking for a chance to dazzle you with their brilliance and to cut you to shreds with how smart they are. I mean, it's just like they're looking for a fight. And every time you see them coming, it's in their way they walk, it's in the way they approach you, it's in the way they deal with you, and the things that they say, they are just looking for a battle. Now, don't shout out any names. But try to imagine, because I think when Jesus sees these Pharisees coming, he knows exactly where their heart is. He knows that they're coming and approaching him with the desire to just battle. See, they think they've come up with the thing. You would think they would have learned by now, but they haven't. They think that they have come up with the thing that's going to trip Jesus up. That's going to show that he's not what everybody's starting to think that he might be. And so they seek for a sign. That means to desire to obtain, to request. And in some cases, like here, it can mean to demand. See, I don't think they were saying, you know, Jesus, if you would like to, please. I think they were saying, no, you better show us a sign, buddy. You show us a sign. And sign means mark. Anything that points to something. It's the word that John likes when he's talking about the miracles of Jesus, because the miracles of Jesus should point to something. They point to who Jesus is. Now, isn't that ironic? You see, Jesus' whole life is a sign, isn't it? I mean, the whole life of Jesus, everything he taught, everything he did is a sign of who he is. And yet, they're still demanding a sign. Because what they want is proof. What they want is some cataclysmic thing that happens. Kind of like what Jesus is going to describe in chapter 13 of Mark. You know, where the sun is darkened and the moon is turned red and the stars fall from the sky and everything is, you know, everybody sees it at the same time and there can be no doubt. This is a sign from heaven that this is who he says he is. Now, I think they ask this or demand for it because they're convinced Jesus can't do it. They're convinced. I'm relatively sure about that because the word test can mean positive or negative. And I think it's negative with them. Now, as we look at the positive, I think of Mr. Schultz, who is a teacher at York. And when Mr. Schultz tested you, when he asked you a question in class or when he gave you a test, it was very clear. Nobody grumbled. Nobody said he's trying to show off his own knowledge. Everybody understood that Mr. Schultz wanted you to succeed. So that's how God tests us. When God tests us, he doesn't do that so we'll, you know, trip and stumble. He does that because he wants us to succeed. He wants us to stand on our faith. He wants us to show that we can do this. Well, that's the positive way that testing can be done. This word is used that way. And then there's the negative. In the movie The Great Escape, in one of the opening scenes, this guy is captured and he's brought in and they're examining him. Now, their purpose is not because they want this man to succeed. Their purpose is they want to discover something that they can use against him and against his country. That's the negative. That's the way Satan tempts. That's the way Satan tests us. He wants to find something that he can use against us. Now, I have to be honest because there are times when I argue this way. I apologize. I wish it weren't true. But there are times that I listen only to find the things that I can bat you upside the head with. Right? Am I the only one? Are you guys with me on this? Okay? So I'm not, but here's the thing. We know people that live this way all the time. They're so convinced that everybody else is wrong and they're right that they don't care what you have to say except for if they can use it against you. That was the Pharisees. They didn't really want Jesus to prove that he was from heaven. They were convinced he couldn't do it. They didn't want really the people to see some cataclysmic thing that would show that this is the Son of God. That's not what they desired. What they wanted was proof that he is not who he claims to be. I'm coming undone here. All right. And so that's the setting. They're there. They're arguing, disputing. They're trying to do battle. They want Jesus to fail. They're looking for things to have against him. Verse 12. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, "Why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side. He sighed deeply in his spirit, and the word spirit is that which animates us. It can mean breath. When Jesus was in the flesh, just like us, he also had that part of him that animated this flesh. I think this is an outward sign of his inward frustration. Now, there are different reasons why Jesus might sigh deeply within himself. He did that when he was healing the man who was deaf, dumb. And I think that was to communicate. But here, I think he's frustrated. Which is good news for us. Because have you ever been frustrated with people? Come on. Yes! And when we go to God in our frustration and say, "Man, these people are so frustrating," Jesus is up there saying, "Yeah, they are, Lord. They really are." He knows. He gets it. He has felt the same frustration as you and I. And isn't that amazing? See, up until that point, God didn't. He wasn't in the flesh. He didn't feel it the same way you and I do. Now, yeah, he had frustration with his people. We know that. But not in the same way. So here's Jesus. And he sighs deeply within himself. And that is an outward display of his inward frustration. Why is it that this generation is seeking for a sign? Something that is obvious. And if you look at this picture, if you look at, there are words up in the clouds that said, "Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." You see, I think our generation is still or is also looking for a sign, aren't they? Looking for something that's going to show that there is a God. It's so frustrating. I don't know if you know who Benny Hinn is. Hey, I've watched this guy on TV before. And I just sit there and go, why can people not see that he's fake? I was going to a prayer thing in the mornings with several different preachers in town. And one of the guys said, "You know, I went to a Benny Hinn conference." And I was getting ready. I was going, "Oh, here we go." And he said, "Yeah, they were asking people, now, when Benny Hinn is talking about the Spirit, are you going to be slain in the Spirit? And what they want to know is, are you going to fall down? And if you said, 'Well, I don't know, that kind of depends on the Spirit,' they would not let you sit on the first rows where the cameras were going to pan." Hmm. Now, right away, that tells me, can you do that with the Holy Spirit? Is it something that you orchestrate so that the cameras can catch it? That tells me that it's fake. And yet people flock. And then they've had them, you know, they've exposed him on the news, and they said that everywhere he goes, he stays at the most expensive hotel in that city. And again, there's a part of me that says, man, that ought to tell you something. And yet people flock by the thousands. Why? Because they're still wanting some kind of sign in the sky. Some kind of proof. Some kind of burning bush. Something that says that there is a God beyond a shadow of a doubt. I was talking to a young lady a couple weeks ago. And oh my goodness, she had a lot of questions. She had good questions, but they were still along this line. And she's the one that asked me, how do you know that the Bible is the right one? Now, I've read a little bit of the Quran, and I could have gone into some detail there. I've read a little bit of the Book of Mormon. I could have gone into some detail there. Okay. But bottom line is, how do I know? Because when I pick this up, the Holy Spirit is speaking to my soul. I know because I have faith that this is the message from God. And the best thing I can do in that moment is to ask her, read. Read it and find out for yourself. Oh yeah, there are some evidences, folks, and maybe there are times to bring that up, and I think there are. I think there's a lot of great stuff out there that we can deal with people who are going to be just combative or you know, whatever. But bottom line is this. Can I give 100% proof that this is the Word of God and the others are not? No, I cannot. She asked me, how do you know there's a God? Because, now hear her frustration. I have prayed that he would take away this addiction, and he doesn't do it. You see? I want a sign. I want something that's going to show that he's real. See, part of the problem is, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe he's real? Sometimes, and I told her this, sometimes God doesn't just automatically take away an addiction. Sometimes he wants you to fight through that thing, whatever it is. Doesn't he? The one guy that comes to my mind who said, man, he took away the craving of alcohol from me like that. And I looked this guy in the face and I said, yeah, and what have you been doing with it? This gift that God gave you. Not a blessed thing. And then he fell off the wagon. I don't think it's because I asked that. I hope not. You see? I think sometimes God wants us to struggle through these things so that we can come on the other side more than conquerors. And we want a quick fix, don't we? We want to drive through the McDonald's drive-thru and say, God, I want healed from addiction. Thank you very much. And have it just like that. We don't want to wait for it. We don't want to have to work on it. We just want God to do it. We want some kind of sign from heaven. And notice what Jesus says. He says, I'm not giving you a sign. Whoa. I'm not doing that. Because again, his whole life was a sign. And if they didn't get that, if they could not look at the life of Jesus, and if they couldn't see that what Jesus was doing and everything that he taught and everything he was pointed to the fact that he is the Son of God, they were not going to get it, period. So I've given up trying to dazzle people with my intelligence. It doesn't work. Some of you know why it doesn't work. Now, maybe, Walter, if you had some, it would work better. But I will plead, I will beg, I will ask. Read this. Read this. I will say. And by the way, if somebody comes up to me with something and it's not, you know, I'm gonna discuss with them. I'm gonna stand firm on what I see the Bible teaching, and I'm gonna deal with that. Yes, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we never have discussions about the truth of God's word. But I'm talking about people who are looking for this kind of sign. What do? You say, I am not going to give you that kind of sign. And then Jesus left, which can mean to abandon, to leave behind. And isn't there times it's just best to walk away? Isn't there times when it's just best to walk away? I've told you this before, but it's still, man, it just was such a powerful weekend. Dr. Rubel Shelley was debating with Dr. Avalos about Easter, on Easter weekend. Dr. Avalos is a Bible teacher at the state of Iowa who does not believe in God. Okay? And he was saying that there is not evidence that the resurrection really happened. There's more evidence that it did not. And Dr. Shelley was saying there is more evidence that it did. And so they started off with this very, you know, showing slides of documents and all of this stuff, and it was very scholastic, very educational. And at the end of the weekend, Dr. Shelley said, the bottom line is that Dr. Avalos and others like him do not want to believe in a resurrection, because if they did, they would have to change their life. And then my friend who was the, moderator, he stood up and said, for those of you who believe in Jesus, happy Easter. For those of you who do not, have a good weekend. You see, there's just times, it's just time to walk away, isn't there? Because no matter how smart you think you are, no matter how much evidence you've accrued, there are people who are so set against believing that it doesn't matter what you say anyway. Jesus could have. He could have called some kind of sign that would have been very impressive. But I think that might have gone against what his purpose was in the plan of God, that we're saved by faith. And these Pharisees wouldn't have believed it anyway. I mean, just aren't there times we know that's true? The person that is sitting there and they've got their sword out and they're battling, and I've got my sword out and we're battling, and there's just times you got to say, you can cut me to shreds if you want to, but I'm going to go home, say a prayer with my wife, and believe in my God. But the great thing is, we may not have something that is what the world would say is proof, but you and I believe in a Savior who walked this earth, lived our life, and died our death. You and I believe that God loved us so much that he went to that cross. You and I believe that he loved us so much that he inspired godly men to write his word down for us. You and I believe that if we pick this up, it will indeed cut to the very soul of who we are and shape us and mold us and make us closer to our God. You and I believe it. And praise God that we do. And with the word of God cutting us up, cutting us open, we will approach others and beg them to believe. Some will, some won't. But I'm not going to seek a sign. I believe God can do anything he wants. I'm going to believe in him no matter what happens in my life. If the person I'm praying for doesn't get better, I'm going to believe in God. If what I thought was going to happen doesn't happen, if I don't get the good job, if I don't get the raise, if I get fired, whatever happens, I am going to believe in God. And there can be things all around me falling apart, but I will believe in God because I've been given enough signs already. And by the way, I think we still are. Look around. May you see the signs that God has given in you in your life, all around you. May you see them clearly. May his word pierce you to the very soul. And may others see him. If there's anyone here that needs prayers of the congregation for any reason, look at that. We're early. I should only do 4 verses every Sunday. Early by my standards. We're not really early. If you need prayers for any reason, our God loves us so much, and he desires what's best for us. He's not going to stand up there with a baseball bat ready to condemn you. He's going to be there waiting to grab you in his arms and forgive you and heal you. I believe it. Do you? Whatever you need, please come as we stand and sing. 500.